Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. My name is Eric Jensen and I am joined today by, well, technically, first time guest, Chris Murphy. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great, man. Yeah, it's great to be back. But not really. I guess this is my first time, technically.
Yeah, for real. We had Chris on earlier, had a few technical difficulties. Hopefully we can avoid those this time. I think we're fine and ready to fly, but we're glad to have you back on, Chris. I just wanted to reassess, though. So you are a New Orleans Saints fan, no?
Oh, yeah, big time. Born and raised in New Orleans. I'm in Chicago now, but I will always love the Saints.
Absolutely. So my question for you before we get started is this. I'm not a big draft guy, but if you had to save a number one position of need for the Saints in the draft going into it, what would it be?
I'd say, honestly, we need a quarterback just because Drew is not getting any younger, and I don't really trust Teddy Bridgewater, but that's a different story. But the problem right now is the Saints, I don't think, have any draft picks in the first few rounds at the moment. So,
absolutely. So let's jump right in. Wanted to kind of recap some of free agency. We had a show on Tuesday right after the Odell Beckham Brown Jr. news to the Browns, so we kind of covered some of the early signings, but I wanted to cover some of kind of the later signings that have come up since we last recorded, and I wanted to start with a trade, actually, with Ryan Tannehill to the Dolphins for a fourth and a seventh rounder. What do you think about this trade for the Titans?
For the Titans, I think it makes sense. Mariota has a hard time staying healthy. Of course, so does Tannehill, and Mariota's numbers just have not been great. I don't really see him as a starting quarterback in this league. I think he's going to wind up being a bust. And I think with Tannehill, when and if Mariota goes down, they'll have a nice, confident middle-of-the-road quarterback. I actually like Tannehill a lot, so I think it makes really good sense for the Titans. I don't know if the Dolphins so much. They kind of didn't really get much for him. I think they could have got a little bit more from him.
Do you think there's any competition in camp between those two guys as to who's going to be the starter? Do you think they stick with Marcus Mariota?
I think it's Marcus Mariota to start, no matter what, but I could definitely see Tannehill just outplaying Mariota throughout the season in practice, and then Mariota either going down or just not producing, and Tannehill comes back in.
Absolutely. That is certainly a possibility with Mariota. I kind of was a little bit confused by the move. It's good to get a backup, but you just kind of got a backup that's also injury prone. So I'll be interested to kind of see what happens. Ryan Tannehill's a fine quarterback, but I he's not gonna, you know, excite me to the level that some would. So I like the move for the Titans. I think it gives them kind of a lot of depth in the quarterback room there. My next guy I had on this was Lev Bell, obviously the biggest offensive free agent available, signing with the New York Jets. What did you think of the signing?
First of all, I think the contract is pretty funny because he got paid less to go to the Jets than he would have if he just would have stuck with the Steelers. But, I mean, I love it. I think Lev Bell is still the, if not the, but one of the top running backs. I mean, I love the guy. I love the way he moves. He's fun. He's got a great rap career going. Check out some of his hits. I think he's going to be great for the Jets, for Sam Darnold.
Yeah, I think he's going to be used really heavily in that offense, and I think that adding Jamison Crowder obviously helped that offense as well, and Kelechi Osemele on the offensive line. But I think the Jets' offense is kind of frisky, and now they can kind of go into the draft focusing on the defensive side and maybe grabbing another wide receiver as well. But I think that the Jets' offense is instantly more exciting to watch with Le'Veon Bell. I think he's going to be used really, really heavily there, and I'm not... it'll be interesting to see how he holds out, holds up after sitting a whole season out, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it honestly just can't be worse for the Jets running offense there with, I guess Isaiah Crowell is going to be on his 13 in 3 years, and he's got to be an improvement, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think he obviously is. I just kind of worry that there's an injury coming if they use him a ton throughout the entire season. I just feel like you can't necessarily look at him and say he's going to 100% make it through a whole season. I just kind of wonder how sitting out a year has affected his body. I think it rejuvenates him, but he's kind of been injury prone in the past, so that's something I kind of want to watch for going into this season. So I don't really know how I'd evaluate him as far as his potential injury problems end up going.
But, yeah, I mean, he managed to stay healthy the last few seasons in Pittsburgh, so I think he'll do okay. I think he's kind of shed that injury prone label a little bit, but I guess we'll see.
Absolutely. Up next, we have Earl Thomas and Mark Ingram to the Ravens. I think these were great signings. I think both of these guys fit really well into what the Ravens want to do. Earl Thomas gives them someone to kind of anchor down that defense after they've lost a lot of pieces in free agency. And I think he really improves the defense in general. And then I think Mark Ingram is the perfect signing for a team that wants to be a power running team. So I really liked both these moves for the Ravens. What did you think about them?
Oh, it hurts my heart to see Mark Ingram in purple. But he's going to be terrific for the Ravens. I think he fits that perfectly. He's turned himself into a nice dual threat. I think he'll pair well with Gus Edwards. I mean, I wish he was back with my Saints, because it turned out to be only a $500,000 difference in the contract between him and Latavius. But he's going to kill it for the Ravens. And then Pearl Thomas, I think that's a great signing. They lost Eric Weddle. I think it's an improvement with Earl Thomas, which is incredible, because Eric Weddle had a great season himself.
Yeah, absolutely. Up next, Golden Tate to the Giants. I was confused by this one, I'll be honest with you. It just seems like the Giants don't have a plan, and I realize in the NFL you can't actively tank it. The league just isn't built for that. But this, I don't know, it doesn't make much sense to trade Odell Beckham and then add Golden Tate.
I think the Giants are just trying to save face. I mean, everyone criticized them, but that was just a boneheaded trade that they made. I don't know what Gettleman's thinking. I think he just was trying to do something so people just don't show up at his office with pitchforks.
Yeah, the one positive, Golden Tate kind of fits what Eli Manning can do. Eli Manning isn't going to torch you up and down the field, but what Golden Tate provides you is a guy who can run really good underneath routes and get you yards after the catch. I think that he might actually have a pretty good year in this Giants offense. And if you look at what they have, like outside of Eli, they have some pretty decent weapons with Sterling Shepard, Evan Ingram, Saquon Barkley, and now Golden Tate, but it just doesn't make sense why you got rid of your vertical threat. I guess they might go after a guy in the draft now, though.
Yeah, I mean, Golden Tate, great player. I like him a lot. I think he's going to be fantastic for the Giants, but he's no OBJ. And you're kind of, I mean, if they go out and get Rosen, this offense is just not as equipped as it would have been to help them out.
Yeah. Tyrell Williams to the Raiders plus LaMarcus Joyner to the Raiders. I think the Raiders have quietly had one of the best free agencies. What do you think?
I love the LaMarcus Joyner signing. I think in the safety when Landon Collins is getting $84 million guaranteed, and he was probably right around Joyner his play last season, I think that's an incredible signing. He got 4 years, $42 million. I think that's going to be a bargain when compared to Collins. I think they did a great job with that. Tyrell Williams, I love the guy. I rooted for him when he got that 1,000-yard season, but his stats just haven't been great, and that's with Phillip Rivers, and I think Derek Carr is going to be a downgrade from that.
What do you think about the Raiders as far as where they are right now? I think their moves this season haven't been bad, and I think they've put themselves in a position to kind of challenge for a wild card spot, especially with the Chargers getting older. I don't think they're going to be as good this year, and the Broncos kind of in purgatory right now.
Well, I think there's a lot of holes in that Raiders squad. I mean, they were 28th in points overall scoring. They had 13 sacks overall in defense. I mean, there's a lot of weaknesses. I think they're doing a great job. I think that offense will be better. I think it's the defense that we'll have to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I think it's definitely look for them to target that in the draft a ton, because I think that's where they're going to really focus on building their defenses with kind of this defensive-loaded draft coming up here. So, up next, Derek Carr's future, also with the Raiders. What do you think's going to happen there? I've heard things that maybe John Gruden doesn't want to keep him, but I haven't really seen that from anyone super credible. What do you think's going to happen with Derek Carr's future?
I think they keep him. I mean, I still think Derek Carr is a good quarterback. He was competing for an MVP just a few seasons ago. I think injuries have really taken its toll, and maybe this is the year that he heals up. I still think he's a good quarterback. If they keep him, though, they got to work on the sacks. He had 51 sacks this year. I mean, he's going to die if they don't do something about that. So if they keep him, they got to fix that O-line for him.
Yeah. Shaq Barrett, this is just a guy I wanted to talk about. I'm not sure if you're familiar with him. I know a lot of fans aren't. I'm just a Broncos fan, so I know a little bit about him. He was on the team. The Bucs picked him up. He was really good as a pass rusher, even though he played pretty limited snaps just because of the depth in Denver at pass rusher over the past 5 years. I think that adding him to the Bucs along with Gerald McCoy, and if you add a guy in the draft, the Bucs kind of have sneaky, underrated, one of the better pass rushes in the game. And I didn't think they were terrible last year as far as the pass rush goes. I really liked this signing for the Bucs. Are there any kind of under the radar signings you really liked out of free agency?
I can't say I've like looked too hard into like all the like under the radar stuff. The Chiefs just got, just from a personal standpoint, the Chiefs just got Alex Okafor, who I think is going to be phenomenal in that defense, and they got him for not too bad of a price for an edge rusher. I think he's going to be a great piece for the Chiefs.
Absolutely. And then finally, the news that just came up a few hours ago, Fitzpatrick signing with the Dolphins. What did you think of that?
Oh my God! How old is he right now? Is he like 50 at this point? How many teams is he gonna go through?
I don't know, man.
I mean, he played pretty well. I thought he did better than what's his name, the Bucks quarterback. I don't know why I can't think of it. Jameis Winston. I think he played better than Winston. I think he can still lead that team to 8-8, and I think that's going to be a problem. I think the Dolphins should be looking to tank, and I think Fitzgerald's going to make them average to mediocre when they should be going 0-16, try to land Tua.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think he's going to make them that average. I think he'll put up some decent stats, but I still think there's not a ton there. I feel like the Dolphins, for the first time in a while, though, kind of have a plan. I feel like their plan is to kind of get through this year with the limited talent they have in their roster, build through the draft, and kind of go for a quarterback next year. I would not be surprised to see them kind of maybe trade out of a few picks this year to accumulate some draft stock.
I mean, that would be the Belichick way, and Brian Flores, if he picked up a thing or two, I could definitely see him doing that over in Miami.
Alrighty. Finally, I wanted to talk about kind of the top five remaining guys still on the market. There are some guys I'm kind of surprised haven't signed yet. The number one guy being Ndamukong Suh. I think that his season last year, as far as pass rush goes, wasn't great. But he was a dominant run stopper last year and put out some really good tape in Los Angeles, in my opinion. I am shocked that he's still on the market. Where do you think he could land?
With Sue, I think he's got to land with a postseason contender because he kind of, I think he's at the point where he's taking it easy during the regular season because that playoff, I mean, I saw him firsthand against the Saints. He was a monster in the playoffs. I could see, honestly, I would love to see him in Indianapolis because they have plenty of cap to sign him. It wouldn't even be an issue for that. The defensive line could use some help. The defense kind of came alive towards the second half of the season, but they could still use the talent, maybe try to make a push for a Super Bowl while Andrew Luck still has that kind of window.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a great landing spot for him. I think that he is definitely a guy that would fit well there. I think heading back to Detroit might not be a bad option. Their defense is kind of slowly looking pretty dominant, and if they could throw him into there, they might have a shot at making the playoffs. They're not really a contender, but I could see him maybe wanting to go back to Detroit. I think another team that could definitely kind of use another edge rusher, the Bears, surprisingly. I could see him signing with the Bears for maybe a discounted price.
If he wants to go the way of trying to compete for another Super Bowl, I would love to see him in the Bears.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting kind of thing to watch throughout the rest of free agency. You have two other very talented pass rushers, Ziggy Ansah. I think he ends up staying in Detroit. I don't think he ends up moving. I don't think there's been as much of a market as he expected, and I think he kind of goes back to Detroit. What do you think?
Yeah, that injury last season probably cost him a lot of money. I know the last time I saw he was looking at the Bills or my Saints, which I think both would be great landing spots for him. I could see him going to the Bills just because I think the Bills would pay him more money than Detroit would, and certainly the Saints certainly have enough cap to overspend. But I think it all depends. If he wants to compete, I think he goes for the Saints. If he wants to bet on himself, he might go to the Bills and try to do a one-year deal.
Justin Houston, an older guy, but a guy who has still put up relatively decent numbers the last few years. I don't really know where I envision him going. What about you?
You know, I was kind of thinking about the defense and who hasn't made a splash yet in free agency. I kind of want to see him on the Cincinnati Bengals. I think that linebacking group is getting very old, like Fantasy Perfect. Who knows when he's going to get suspended forever? I think he would do a good job over there.
Absolutely. That is actually a really good landing spot. I think I'd agree with you. I think Cincy would make a lot of sense for him. Up next, we have Jared Cook, very talented tight end. Where do you think he ends up?
So it's looking very likely. Again, it's not hometown bias, but it looks almost like it's a lock for the Saints.
Ooh.
Saints need desperate help at tight end.
Yeah, I think he'd fit in.
I think it's all confirmed.
I think he'd work really well there. I completely agree with you.
I just hope it's not another Kobe Flinger situation.
Yeah, hopefully. And then finally, a guy, Randall Cobb. Do you think he still has it to be a wide receiver three type kind of threat in the NFL?
You know, it's hard. I love Randall Cobb. I thought when, what's his name? in Green Bay, just on the Raiders, I don't know why his names are escaping me right now. But yeah, I think he's a great, I think he could still give some effort. I don't know how much he has left in the tank. It's the slot receivers all making top dollar. I don't know if he's going to cash in like they are either.
Yeah, that's a good point. But I do think that he could be kind of a valuable part of kind of an offense. I could see maybe the Rams working him in somehow, some way, or the Chiefs perhaps, or one of these offensive teams that wants to try to add a little bit of depth. Speaking of depth, the draft is coming up. I don't know if you know a ton about college. I am not super well versed in the draft. I'm very open about that, but I did some research yesterday and I kind of wanted to talk about kind of the top five guys coming into the draft. And they're all pass rushers, it turns out.
You know, I'm on kind of the same page. I didn't graduate college, so I just don't ever watch college games. It hurts me inside to look at all those guys getting degrees. So I took a look at a couple of players, though, but I'll see if they overlap with yours.
I would say the number one guy out of this draft consensus is Nick Bosa. I watched some tape on him, and by tape, I mean a highlight package from with some motivational music underneath it. I think he looks fast, he looks strong, and I think he is by far the best pass rusher out of this class, and I think he's better than his brother that's currently in the NFL.
From what I've read, that seems to be kind of the consensus, that he's going to be even better than his brother, which is incredible since his brother came in and played like an all-pro immediately after that hilarious holdout. Never forget, San Diego Chargers, RIP.
Yeah, RIP. RIP to the San Diego Chargers. RIP to the Los Angeles Chargers as well. Sneaky underrated. I think that team might not be very good this year. Sneaky underrated, I think the Chargers might fall off. I'm not sure how much I believe in Phil Rivers. Two, guy out of Kentucky, linebacker Josh Allen. Not the quarterback Josh Allen, but linebacker Josh Allen. He seems like a pretty good pass rusher as well. Do you kind of have him at two as well?
I don't know much about him. I kept getting confused. I kept thinking Josh Allen got upset and went back in the draft to try a different position. So I'm going to have to take your word on that. I've heard a little bit about him. He seems like a really good guy. I mean, I kind of like the guy I was looking at before some bad news came out today. Montez Sweat looked really, really good.
Yeah, he has a pre-existing heart condition, apparently. That's some bad news for him.
Yeah, I would have said him before that news.
Yeah, I probably would have as well. It sucks that's the way it is, but I feel like that's going to hurt his draft stock a bit. I think the third best guy for me, Ed Oliver. I know he kind of ducked down a little bit this year as far as pass rushing goes, but I think he's still a really talented defensive lineman. I think he could fall down, and I would not be mad at all if the Denver Broncos took him at 10.
This seems to be a great draft for edge rushers.
Yeah, I kind of did my research off of the CBS Sports draft big board, and their top seven guys are all edge or defensive linemen. Like, it is pretty insane. And out of the top 10, there's yeah, 7 of the top 10 are defensive linemen, so, and linebackers that can get to the quarterback. Like, that's pretty impressive. It is, which is weird, because that's kind of what free agency specialized in as well, so you wonder if some of these guys maybe slide a little bit.
Some playoff contending team could get a very good deal then in that case. On a premium position.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think my final guy would be Devin White. I saw him a lot at LSU. I'm kind of an LSU fan. So I think
really?
Yeah. I'm a Utah fan, of course, because I live here in Utah, but my SEC team is LSU. I really like Ed Orgeron. So I watched quite a few Tigers games this year, and he was really good. So I'm excited to kind of see where he lands, but he will be my fifth guy.
Yeah, I mean, I got to see a few LSU games as well, being from Louisiana. I love that guy. I think he's going to be fantastic for whatever team gets him.
Absolutely. Well, I think that's it. Is there anything else you want to talk about?
I just had one other draft prospect I'm super looking forward to. I kind of went the who is the sexiest in DK Metcalf. What do you think of that guy? Kind of blew everyone away in the combine.
Yeah,
with the shirt off.
I heard didn't he do really poorly in like the 3 cone drill though? That kind of concerns me. But I mean, I guess there are a lot of deep wide receivers that can't really make super fast cuts, but I feel like the only route he might have is, you know, a deep route to the end zone, which, I mean, would be completely fine in some situations, but I don't really know how I feel about him, because I feel like you need to be able to kind of cut in today's NFL and be able to do everything, especially as these offenses kind of get more spread and pick concepts and things like that. So I don't know. I don't know how he'll translate to the NFL, but on paper he looks like a freak. He looks like he's definitely the best wide receiver in the draft.
Oh, insane. I mean, his measurables, he's like a Jack John Ross. It's insane how this guy can move, but yeah, I think he's just gonna be a bust.
Yeah, I don't know if he'll be a bust, but I wouldn't take him super early. I might take him mid-first round or early second round. But, again, I don't know a ton about the draft. So we will have some more experienced draft people on here before the draft. Don't worry about that, guys.
I should say my credentials are I'm a comedian in Chicago.
Yeah.
So if you're wondering why you heard a lot of pauses for names, it's not a professional at this.
Yeah, absolutely. But you're a funny guy and a good comedian, and you know your NFL stuff. So we're happy to have you on, Chris. Where can people find you on Twitter?
You can find my Twitter at cmurphy187. I can't say you will like the tweets you see, but they're there.
They are there. Wow. What a ringing endorsement. thank you very much, man. And we will see you hopefully sometime soon. Maybe we'll have you on sometime in the summer so we can kind of preview what the New Orleans Saints have to come this year.
Yeah, I would love it. Yeah, thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. So go follow Chris on Twitter, and we will be right back. All right, we are back. Thank you very much for listening to that episode. I had a ton of fun. I love Chris. He's a great guy to have on and kind of talk football. We do not know a ton about the draft, but I thought it would be kind of a fun exercise to go in and kind of at least look at some of the top names coming out. So sorry if there wasn't more in-depth analysis on that, but I thought it would be nice to kind of go out and do a little bit of draft research on what the top prospects are. Again, we'll have some guys like Usaid, Walker, Skyler on in the next month or so to kind of talk about what they think of draft prospects. They obviously study it a lot more than I do, so I want to definitely have them on. All right. On a bit of a personal note, the podcast is taking a two-week hiatus. I just got a new job. I'm not really, well, I am at Liberty, but I don't want to share a ton yet outside of it's a really cool job. I'm a little bit nervous about it. It's in my area that I want to go into as far as a career goes. So I'm really excited about it. I'm really nervous about it at the same time. I kind of freaked out when I went in for my first day. It was just a lot to comprehend, but I know I can do the job, and I know that I can be successful there, and I really want to spend the next 2 weeks kind of focusing just more on that and the fact that school is kind of picking up towards the end of the semester as well. If you guys don't know already, I'm a full-time college student here in Salt Lake City, Utah at Salt Lake Community College. I'll be transferring up to the University of Utah in the fall, though. So we're going to take a short two-week hiatus. We're going to come back in April and do one show, which I always like to do one show where we kind of branch away from football for a little bit just because it's so quiet up until the draft usually. Obviously, if there is big news, if there are massive trades that go down here in the next few weeks, we will have emergency pods that are 10 to 15 minutes long, 20 minutes long, half hour long, however long it need be to get all the information out there, of course, you know. But for right now, just know that we will be back. It's just a two-week hiatus just to kind of, I need to be able to get all this other stuff that's going on in my life right now kind of scheduled out and dealt with. But I love doing the podcast. It's one of, honestly, my favorite things I do. I don't know where I'd be without this podcast, to be honest with you. It's one of my main sources of happiness, so I'm definitely not going to stop it. But just expect us to be back early April with a show, hopefully featuring my friend Travis Calvin, who I've wanted to have on the podcast for a long time. And we'll talk the sports he knows more about, which are MLB, NBA, and MLS, which I am super excited. MLS is kind of in full swing here. March Madness is going to be kicking off as well, so go fill out a bracket, of course. I don't really know who I'm going to take. I haven't followed college basketball as closely this year. I know that I want to look at St. Louis as a team that could be a sleeper, so I guess that's my two cents on March Madness. But yes, we are going to take a short hiatus. We'll be back in April. We'll do kind of that all-around sports show early April. Then we'll have two shows before the draft. I'm not sure with my schedule I'm going to be able to do a draft night show. If I am, I will definitely be able to do it, but we won't be able to have it scheduled out. But more, follow the End Zone podcast, Twitter at End Zone Pod, for more kind of details and information on that. So, without further ado, I'll close out the episode. Again, guys, thanks so much for listening and supporting. I'm super excited about this new opportunity. I will definitely tell you more once I get more settled into it, but I'm really excited about it, and I will see you guys in about 2.5 weeks or so, sometime in April. Peace out. Have a good weekend, and enjoy some March Madness. See you guys. Follow us on Twitter at EndZonePod. If you have any suggestions, questions, or you just want to shout out on the pod, send an email to endzonepod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time.